Today's sermon is called Part of the Whole. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God of our hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, God of our dreams and hopes and possibilities for justice, peace, compassion, and mercy, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The middle part of this passage reads like a visual of a horror movie, doesn't it? Hanging rocks around your neck and drown, and cutting off hands and feet, eyes plucked out. All this talk of the fires of hell. Jesus really lets his disciples know where they stand if, or rather when, they go against persons who are innocent, defenseless, and reliant on us for their very lives and character. Rather than let the disciples struggle with a parable, he sets out a metaphor instead in the strongest possible terms. There's no doubt God doesn't approve of this kind of behavior. Big time. But I'll bet if we went through our library of favorite Bible passages, this one doesn't make the top 10, or the top 50, or maybe even the top 100. The language is just too graphic and too gross, all this talk of mutilating ourselves if we screw up. It doesn't sound like Jesus at all. Is this what love is? Well, I can tell you this much. For the folks who say they take the Bible literally, they don't participate in this one. And it's one of the things that folks who don't know that much about the Bible look at and say, well, I'm not going there. And they throw the rest of the Bible out. They just throw it under the bus. They say, this is ridiculous as a result. This passage is real trouble if we look at it simplistically and out of context. But we've been together long enough, we know better, right? This is metaphorical language, not to be taken literally, because God's bigger than that. JC, he's leaving his homeland here. He's heading to Jerusalem to die. And so he's continuing on his leadership series with the disciples, where he took a little child on his lap to let him know how fragile people and their faith are, particularly the ones who are underprivileged, poor, brokenhearted, and disinherited. The children who have nothing are the foil of this leadership series for behavior and mentorship. JC says four times, here's what's good for you. And then he describes the awfulness of ignoring God's advice. Better not to live at all than do that. Better to cripple themselves and do that, or limp and do that, or be truly blind than do that. Following God is really hard. And we heard a couple of weeks ago how a bunch of disciples fell away after hearing the hard teachings of union with God through communion. God's response to all that? It's to once again up the ante of discipleship. Disciples don't get time off. They can't take a break and let loose at the bar. They aren't given permission to run off and pick up a one-night stand while the others are sleeping. They cannot degrade or denigrate those who are seeking teaching and healing from them. The temptations of life, they often hurt those who Jesus refers to as children, the defenseless, the disinherited, the brokenhearted. And so we look to the disciples to say, are you part of that system too? Who will stand up with and for us? Housekeepers who are never seen and underpaid for their work, they're part of the defenseless, the disinherited, the brokenhearted. You ever see the Netflix show Maid? M-A-I-D, Maid. It'll break your heart. Persons who, through no fault of their own, became opiate addicts. They can't hold a job, or they're forced to earn money any way they can. And they often become victims of human trafficking. There are service workers. They're part of the defenseless, disinherited, the brokenhearted. They just want a fair wage to wait tables or work the counter. But they're stiffed by those who are offended by suggesting tips because minimum wage laws don't apply to them. In this world, which challenges us just as it did those original disciples, here's the deal. Stuff matters. What we do or say has consequences. So I ask you this. Are we agents of good news? Or just appearing here on Sunday to make us feel good without an actual change of heart? For people we encounter, we are called to matter. We have power we don't even know about. But if because of what we say or do, people lose faith, question God, or pull away from the light of the world, well, then let's put on the millstone. We have a responsibility. But this passage is a promise, isn't it? It's not a threat. It's a reminder that we are full of God's promise and power. Jesus just asks us to consider this seriously in our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits. We pray this each week, right? The spirit world, my friends, the spirit world is real. Much more so than the physical one with which we're preoccupied. And maybe that's the problem with this passage. The image of physical disability we can't imagine because we value our wholeness, our walking, talking, hearing, touching. JC, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he would concede this point. But what Jesus is saying is that we have souls that are just as complete and beautiful as our bodies, and its wholeness should come first. Because if our souls are sick, we're sick all over, and our physical traits don't matter much at all at that point. So, if we gross out about cutting off our body parts, well, why don't we have the same reaction to cutting off our justice, our mercy, our kindness, or compassion? Why aren't we just as careful with our souls as we are with our bodies? Why do we go out of our way to hurt others so we can get our own way and salve our comfort, our fears at the expense of others? What we say counts. What we say matters. JC tells us that we are to build people up and not tear them down in this passage. Now look, we will stumble. We will talk one way and act another. But we're talking about how we're all God's children and then treating some like strangers or even criminals. Talk about having God's gifts but hoarding them, refusing to share them and ourselves with others. Talk about God's grace and then saving up our grudges and whispering them to others so that we can tear others down. Well, let me tell you, others notice. It's the number one reason folks don't come to church, because Christians seem hypocritical. They can't see any difference between churchgoers and non-churchers, except the second group doesn't pretend to be holier than thou. It's funny how church is for sinners, but then we're blind with the log in our eye, huh? Let me leave you with these final thoughts. We're God's baptized and chosen ones too here. If there's anyone who can see the world for what it is and what we can do, and how people are, really and truly, body and soul. It's us. We know intuitively that there's more to the story. We know that God's bigger than that. We see wholeness even when folks are broken by life's messiness. And without wholeness, we see and feel the hurt as if it's us too, right? Or don't you feel that? If you can't enter into that, then come see me after the service. Let's talk. But if we can feel like this, if we can enter into the soul, the hurt, the brokenness, the suffering of others, then we can't participate in denying the dignity of others anymore and labeling people as animals, criminals, or illegal, as if their status as children of God fleeing for their lives never enters into the picture. We internalize these communication messages by our political leaders, and we ignore our own commitment to God as a result. And yet we do this. And Jesus says, the wounding of the soul of another should feel like chopping off pieces of our own spirits. And when that happens, God cries out for both of us. Such an existence, my friends, is a wasted one. And our scripture says, wasting is hell, right here, right now. It's not the kingdom of God that we so long for and are trying to build when we ignore the plight of others, when we look the other way, and most of all, when we tear them down because we want to salve our conscience or fear. So, instead, let's use our beautiful eyes, our delicate hands, our steady feet, and our unbowed necks to carry us into a deep new strength. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.